Hello. Today's podcast was recorded a couple of weeks ago, and as I went to edit it and to clean it up to make it as sound as nice as possible, there are some audio distortions from my guest. And at first I was terribly disappointed, and I was thinking of how to, I've tried doing my best to fix it. However, I couldn't fix it enough. And I wanted, rather than to throw it away and start all over again, because I really felt like there were a lot of good gems in it and that I wanted my listeners to have the opportunity to listen to it. So I know that it is challenging to listen to. There's a ton of echo and a ton of reverb, and I hope that that won't affect your willingness to listen to it, but that you will listen for the content and the golden nuggets and the things that are truly important about it, not necessarily the quality of the audio from my guest. So I wanted to warn you or give you opportunity to hear that from me so that you understood that it was a deficiency in technology. It was, but the information was too valuable to let go. So please listen and get the information that you need in order to help your business. And hopefully in the future, we'll be able to fix the problems so that that won't be a factor. And I hope you have a good week. And we will talk to you next week. Hello and welcome to Tactical Startup. My name is Taylor Darcy and I'm your host. Today we are going to be talking with Nikisha Bond. She is an entrepreneur who's been running her own business for 15 plus years. And we were actually colleagues before. She was my boss many moons ago. And I knew that she was excellent at what she did. And I wanted to bring her on the show and help her, or not help her, but have her help you guys learn more about what it takes to get from zero to 15 years. Nikisha, go ahead and tell our people a bit about yourself.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here. Entrepreneurship, I've been doing this for over 15 years, and I absolutely love it. We started off in the synthetic grass business. It's actually a funny story how we started, because my husband, he got hurt on the job. And he was getting like a little bit of a settlement. He was like, I'm never going to work for anybody ever again for the rest of my life. I want to be an entrepreneur. And so that's kind of what started the journey. So I would say the first thing is to make a decision, right? And then you're going to go ahead and carry out your decision. So he saw this small little ad to do synthetic grass, and he sent it in, and they sent him some samples, and it was like, boom, let's go out here and start a business. And so I would say that in the very beginning, it was a lot of, you don't know anything. You're making a lot of mistakes all the time, and you're losing a lot of money all the time. But I would say perseverance is what it takes to go from zero to where you want to be. But that's how we started, was, you know, we had a little bit of settlement. When I say little, it was less than $5,000. But we took that seed and planted it in the ground, and 15 years later, here we are.
Nice. So you said you started with your husband. Tell me a little bit about your family.
So me and my husband, yeah, we've been together for over 17 years, married for 15. We have 5 kids together total. And when we first got together, we started a business before we got married. So we were partners in business before we became partners in marriage. And when he first started, he was like, I want to start a business. He just wanted to start a business. And I was in business school at the time. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like fun. Let's go ahead. We were just so dumb, ignorance on fire, just going out there trying to make it work. And so we're a family-owned business. And we work together. My husband's our contractor. I work in the office. And my husband's our supervisor on the, my husband, my son is our supervisor out there on the job. Eventually I'll have my girls in it, and my littlest son, he'll come out there and help us too. So it really is a family venture. And when we first started, it was just to have our own business, which is like why everybody starts, I want to be free, I want to have my own time. But then we got to the point where we really wanted to create a legacy for our family. We wanted to have a place where our kids could come and work, and where I didn't have to worry about my kids going out there and how do you do a job and a job application. Like, hey, I'm going to put you on the management path. I'm going to put you on this path. And that, I think that's how we used to be. But I think people have lost that entrepreneurial spirit, because We don't have people like Taylor who's making these podcasts for people to understand that the hardness that you're going through is part of the journey, and that's really where you're going to learn the most.
We were talking before the show that we're trying to alleviate pain points, but unfortunately, pain is the best teacher, and it makes it challenging because we can eliminate some measure of bad decisions is what it takes to get you to making smart decisions. And in fact, one of my previous podcasts, I talked about you want to fail and you want to fail forward. You want to fail moving forward, but fail fast, right? Don't take long times to fail because you'll end up regretting it. It'll cost you time that you don't have. Time you can't get back. Money you can get back. And it's so important that people realize that they need to look at failure as an opportunity for success as opposed to an end. So many people quit before they're successful. And I tell my business owners all the time, your greatest opportunity success is the opportunity to pivot if things aren't going perfectly. You're not a big conglomerate, so you don't have to worry about who's buying into it, the stakeholders and all of that. You can pivot really easy. And so use that as your best of your ability. So tell me about Go Future Greens. What brought that? I know you talked about that was selling artificial turf, but you've been doing it long enough now. What continues the passion with it?
That's actually a really great question. When you first asked me, I was thinking one thing and I was thinking something different. So when we first started, we just wanted to make money. We didn't want to work for somebody else and we wanted to make money. Very, very. And then when you ask about perseverance, after 15 years, why are we still here? What are we still doing? What was actually became really exciting is the opportunity to provide jobs for other people, to help other entrepreneurs, to really collaborate and create win-win situations. So we started off just doing the synthetic turf, and then eventually we morphed it into a construction company doing large scales, demos, and remodels, which gave us an opportunity to get in touch with a lot of other subcontractors. So now we were in a position where we can have four or five companies working on a job with us, and that became really important because it was like, what we're doing now is more than just little business that's helping us make money, or the little business that's allowing our family to work and not have to go work anywhere else. But it was actually creating an economy. It was actually creating, you know, more jobs. It was creating opportunities for people to have businesses. Like you and I have worked together. You're able to grow your business. I'm able to grow my business. And that's really what it became about, is creating all of these relationships in the world. So that's what I really love about it. That's what it has transformed for me. And you said something earlier that I thought was really important was, you really want to fail fast because words don't teach. I can tell a kid, don't touch the stove. But as soon as they touch that stove, they're like, oh, okay, that's what you meant by that. A lot of times we're reading this information and we're getting it, and we know it up here, but behavior is actually controlled in the subconscious. So you have to get it all the way down into the inside of you before you can start acting on that. And so it's through that action that you really learn the most that you're ever going to learn. And so if there was one thing that I wished I knew about business in the beginning was, I wish I had the balls to fail faster. Go out there, try it. If it doesn't work, do something else. And that's not to like keep going for business, but it's like within your business strategy.
Right.
Try one. If it doesn't work, try another one. And I always do an assessment at the end of the week. What's working? What's not working? Keep doing the stuff that's working. Stop doing the stuff that's not working. Go back and revisit things. You know, I got like a SWOT analysis up there. Those are the things that you want to do too. You want to really start mapping out and thinking strategically. And as small business owners, sometimes we forget that. Because we're so busy doing everything. But sometimes you need to sit down, even with people who are outside of your business, and just strategize about what you want to do. What's working, like I said, what's working, what's not working, get other people's opinions, and don't be afraid to try new things. So, you know, it's part of that failing faster or pivoting that you were talking about earlier. When COVID hit, we had an idea of maybe doing virtual consultations, but when COVID hit, it was like, boom, that strategy is now coming into play, and let's go ahead and do it because we can try it, we can test it, let's see if it works. Is the market ready? Because when we tried it before, people were like, virtual consultation, I don't know about that. I don't think I would be, you know, but now COVID, it's like, I'll take it. So sometimes it's timing. And so some idea that you tried, because we talked about this 2 years ago when we were talking about we want to do virtual consultations and 3D virtual reality glasses. And I was like, yeah, okay. That's a nice idea.
Yeah, and that's so true. As Wayne Gretzky said, I don't skate to where the puck has been. I skate to where the puck is going. And that's something that you have to do as an entrepreneur, is look at the horizon and see what potentially could be. And as when I envision my practice, I recognize that most business owners are so busy that coming to my office may not be the most practical use of their time. I do most of my consults and most of my help virtually or via the phone or Zoom calls or whatever it works out to be, because people don't have time to go find an attorney and spend hours looking for a parking spot downtown and for an hour consult. And then there's the just everything that goes with that. And when COVID hit, same thing. I was so virtual that it didn't affect me from that perspective, because people were still wanting to meet virtually, not in person at that point. So it just made it way more sense. And then that's where I've centered my practice on, is moving where the puck is going in the legal services field, as opposed to where it's been. And that's been in-person meetings. People still would sign contracts without HelloSign or DocuSign. They'd fax over a contract. I'm not even kidding you. True story. And you're just like, okay, do we really need a wet signature? If it's perfectly legal, why aren't we using these virtual tools to keep us in business and save time? And something as simple, I know this sounds crazy to most of the world, but something as simple as accepting a credit card as a law firm is almost unheard of. Not so much anymore, but there's still law firms out there that will only take a check. And the turnaround time period that goes with that, 6, 7, 10 days at minimum. And moving to the direction of where technology is taking us is an important part of being an entrepreneur, and not getting caught in the weeds of, oh, that's the way we've done it. So let's do it that way. Let's keep doing it that way, because that's how we've always done it. And when we worked at a certain company that I'm not going to name, they were very stuck in the weeds in, oh, that's how we've always done it. So that's how we're always going to do it. And they weren't willing to move forward. And in fact, when I was brought in, my whole point was to help move them forward. And they were just so resistant to change that they just kicked and screamed, and they didn't implement the changes because that's not how we do it. And that's the wrong kind of mindset as an entrepreneur, is let's find new and better ways to improve and better ways to do it. So besides perseverance, go ahead.
Can I touch on, because I think you brought up something really key in what you just said, and I don't want the audience to lose it. Systems. What you came in to do was to create systems. And this is where I think a lot of small business entrepreneurs fail, is they don't create systems. So the business depends 100% on them, their ability, and they have to show up every single day. So if I needed someone to go in, and by the way, everyone, that company is no longer here because they didn't invest in their systems. So just
really?
FYI.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were.
You didn't know? Yeah. Uh-huh. I think they ended up selling it, well, because they had depended on the talent of the people versus creating systems and really investing into systems that can really run their organization. And that's really where we're going to, and that's what you're touching on, is that small businesses right now, you can do a lot with a little bit. There's virtual assistants out there. There's CRM systems. There's email, the correspondence that can be done automatically. You can get your social media automatically. But you know what happens is that people don't want to take the time to invest to learn the things that they need to learn. We were just actually laughing that I got this really fancy mic, and I haven't taken the time to learn how to use it. So I can't take advantage of how much it's going to increase my business. And so as entrepreneurs, we're constantly in that place of saying, okay, I need to get this done, but I don't have time to do it. Is this something that I need to outsource? Is this something that I need to collaborate with someone? Is this someone that I need to find a partnership with someone so that they can offset on things that I'm not able to do? And so entrepreneurs, we have to really be creative on how we solve problems in the 21st century, and that we're really just not, we're not just doing things just to do things, that we're stepping back, doing that assessment, and creating the systems that can really help you to run your business. Because as an entrepreneur, you can be a one-man, but you can give the impression that there's like 30 people running behind you if you get the right systems in place. And just take that time, you know, take a couple hours every single day to do some research. You can Google whatever it is that you need to know. Spend that time to really learn so that you have that professionalism, and that time that you spend at the beginning will take that time off of the end.
Yeah. And to add to what you were saying, systems equals scalable. That's really where you win with systems, is that it takes you from, as you're saying, the one man band to the 30 person, at least looking that way. And then when you are able to hire people, instead of you having to take it out of your brain and put it into the to a computer or however you want to document it, however you want to bring it, then it's already done. And so you can put someone in that role because you've been doing it all along, rather than trying to, now I have to hurry up and fix this so that I can have it ready for the next person to come in. And it creates this system. When you do that, you can then go, okay, and then you can be an evolutionary instead of starting from scratch, right? You can evolve. Someone gets into the position, what you thought was obvious to you isn't obvious to them. And you can move it in that direction of, okay, now I need to make it this much better for this other person. And so then you've got someone that's creating systems along with you, right? They can help build so that it's not just you by yourself working to fix these things. But if you don't have that, then you're going to be very disappointed with what the employee is going to do, because they're not going to understand. I've been in enough roles in my life where if it wasn't documented correctly or the systems weren't in place and I had to figure it out for myself, and then they were also not willing to work with me, then it made it more challenging to be able to move forward with it, because they were digging in their heels and weren't developing either. And so it's, okay, what am I here for? Am I just here to sit in a seat, or am I here to help build the company?
And that is so key, because what you're talking about here is the reason why small businesses can't get out of that sole proprietor mindset. Yeah. Because they don't have a system that they can hand it off to. So when they're like, hey, I know I'm busy enough to have somebody else have to come and do this, but I don't have the time to train them and to give them everything that they need in order to be successful. But while you're in that role and your knowledge that's going to help you learn that system, and then once that system is perfected, hand that off to somebody else, because then, like you said, you can collaborate and create new systems. And that is truly how you can sell your business later on. Because even if you have the greatest business idea right now, if it depends on you and you got to show up, that's not a business that you can sell. But if you have a business that depends on systems, right, and somebody can just have to manage the system, then when you want to sell your business one day, that's something that you can do. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, because it's so hard when you're getting started, that a lot of times they don't reach out to their chamber of commerce, or they don't partner with people, or they don't have other people that can help them create these systems, because not everybody can do everything. So you really want to start to collaborate with people who can help you run your business and help you in areas where you're weak. I'm really big on doubling down on your strengths and outsourcing your weaknesses, especially once you get to a certain age. Once you get to a certain age and maturity in your business, you really want to just have that be your main focus.
And as the founder slash entrepreneur, the main person that's, you need to be the visionary. You need to be the one that's moving it forward and the ideas that, I mean, because that's where the value is as you as an entrepreneur, not necessarily in the systems, right? In the systems is where you can make your, that's where your bread and butter is, but having someone else to handle the systems, to your chief operations officer that sits in and fixes the things to implement and to make it grow for you, that's where the magic happens. When you have someone else that's doing the day-to-day that can implement those systems, and you're out there envisioning what it can be, and then somebody else is doing it. And then that's how you move forward with the business, is not being stuck doing both, right? When you're stuck doing both, you're limiting your opportunity. And I tell most of my business owners is, you should look at yourself and say, if you can get paid $1,000 an hour for something, then somebody else that can do it for less should do it, because that's how much your time should be valuable to you. Because as the vision, you can expand and grow, but if you don't have that other person doing that work for you, you're going to be stuck being that one person that's doing everything. And it's just going to be, you're never going to get out of that grind of 15-hour days. We've all been there, trust me, because you're not willing to pass that off to somebody else. And yeah, that's a huge deal for that. Any other thoughts, words of wisdom for listeners?
Let me think real quick. I'm trying to think of the best advice that I got. Hold on. Dream big. Because as entrepreneurs, we tend to have to live in two worlds. We have to live in the day-to-day, the now, what has to be done today. Right. But then there's also the vision of the future. And unfortunately, sometimes the day-to-day, the now, can be sucky. It's just like crap. Like right now, I got to read through all this paperwork, and I've got like all these things that just take a long time to read. And so I lost my train of thought. Dream big. Thank you. So you want to make sure that you have something that makes you excited about the future. So that it, what you're doing today is almost like the farmer who plants seeds today, right? He does not expect to see anything from his harvest today. However, he knows that in 6 to 9 months or whenever plants come out of the ground, that's when they're expecting to see it. And I think that was probably the biggest lesson that I learned, is that you're always going to be in that seed time and harvest almost always at the same time. I'm right now enjoying the harvest of seeds that I planted a long time ago, which maybe I, at this point, am like, have outgrown this particular harvest. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm planting seed for a new harvest that by the time up. And when you realize that that's the cycle of business, then it makes it more exciting because you don't get stuck in the inertia of today. Yes, I have a lot of action items that I have to do. A lot of them I don't really want to do, but I know that there's seeds that are planting for a much better future, and that's where I can get my excitement from. So just kind of learn to live in those two worlds. And another thing you said too is, and I see this a lot with entrepreneurs, I'm not necessarily a visionary. My husband is a visionary. He's like, oh, we should do this. And then I'm like, oh, okay, in order to do that, we got to do this, 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 this. And so those two roles are really key in a business. And I see a lot of people who are great at the CEO role, visionary, we're going to go to this, and I want to do this, and I want to do it, and I fly high. And then when it comes down to actual like implementation, doc management systems, how you're going to do it, SOPs, specs, all of these things, talking to people, they forget about that, you know, the operational portion. And so that's an area that I do as for consulting, but that is a key piece, is to understand both of those two roles and know who you are. I'm not the visionary, even though sometimes people will talk to me and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you sound like you're the visionary one. I'm like, no, but I'm really good that if you have an idea, I can make it happen. That's where I really excel. So knowing my strengths, I double down on that, and then I work with visionaries. And so people who are visionaries find someone who has that operational background. And sometimes as an entrepreneur, you know, especially like if you're a sole proprietor or maybe you're just doing it on your own and you would go into a new world, but you're lacking a bunch of skills, joint partnerships can be a great opportunity. We talked about that on your podcast, I'm sure you have. But joint partnerships can be very powerful because your business with your strengths, their business with their strengths, become together to meet whatever this particular goal is. It doesn't have to be long-term. It can just be for this particular next step. And then plan it so that you have like an exit strategy so that you understand what you're getting into and what you're getting out of. And that can be your way of compensating for maybe the operational skills, skills that you don't have, or compensating for the vision and the skills that you don't have. So I'm a big believer that sometimes you have to step back to move forward. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but like sometimes you have to look at where you are and say, these are all the areas that I'm really weak and I have to address those so that I can move forward. So let me step back as an entrepreneur, find someone who can help me supplement, again, double down, and then get that person on board, learn as much as I can, and then that's why I'm here, and I'm here for that same reason for them, right? With the partnerships. And then once we're done, now I've filled up that gap that I was missing. But a lot of entrepreneurs, I see that they recognize that gap, but they don't do anything actively to close it. And if you don't have those two roles in your business, it's going to be really hard to have a long, sustaining business. And so I really feel like if you were to ask me, I was really summing up, those are the two key roles that I have really identified that almost every business needs. And if you can find those two roles, you can be super successful with whatever it is that you want to do. And if you don't have those two roles, it's really important that you find partnerships or people who can come on board who can fill in your gaps. I would not spend a lot of time. In some instances, I don't want to say that I really don't want people to spend too much time on things that they're not great at. Probably could outsource that, get a lot further than sitting here and trying to do what it is that you need to do. For example, I'll spend the time to read this, right? Learn how to hook up my mic. That's because it's something that I want to do, and I want to understand that process for when I get to a better mic. But then there's something like, I want to do a CRM system. Okay, well, that might be a little bit bigger. Maybe I'll get a team of somebody that already has a system that's already established, and maybe I'll pay a little bit more so that they can put my data in so that I can immediately start using it, and getting the return on my investment. Being self-aware. Maybe that is the key that I want to say. Right. Maybe that's the word that I want to say. Be self-aware of who you are, what you can do, what you can't do, and just live in that world of reality while you're still planning for that big theme in the future. That's what I
want to
say.
And no, you're absolutely right. And I think that one of the big things that entrepreneurs are really notoriously bad at, and I don't mean this as a judgment, I just mean this as an observation, is that they they forget that law of the harvest, as you're saying, is that they forget that what they do today makes a big difference in what can happen tomorrow. And it might not be tomorrow. It might be 6 months from now. It might be a year from now. Who knows? And so you have to do those little things each day. The principle of compound interest applies in almost everything you do, that you put in a little bit of money every day can mount up to a lot of money. You put in nothing and it can be nothing, but it takes time. There's no quick shortcut to success. There's no fast tracking it. Yes, there are faster ways of doing things, but you can't do nothing and get something quickly. It takes time each day, and doing what you're best at, as you're saying, and that's very true, means that it's going to speed up that cycle. That's how you get faster. That's how you get better. You try to do everything and try to get better just because you want to. You need all of those key things to get truly better.
And I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt, but I did want to pick on something because you said something so key. People do want to just skip the journey. Because the journey kind of sucks. It does. I'm not going to lie. Right? It does. However, if you can change your perspective about what the journey is actually there for, you'll see that is actually where you get all of your learnings. Yep. I have learned everything from the journey. That's it. You know, I went to school, you know, got a bachelor's in at business admin. Didn't really learn anything that would allow me to apply it to business. I think maybe it just gave me the courage to say, I think I could start a business. That's about it. Everything else was through the journey of, okay, how do you get an EIN number? Okay, go through the steps, you know. Oh, you need insurance? Well, how do you get insurance? You go through the steps of how do you get. And so that journey is everything, because I wouldn't be able to explain to you anything if I hadn't gone through that journey. So if someone now asks me, I want to get an EIN, okay, here's where you want to go, and da 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 da. So I think that is really, really key, is that you do not want to skip the journey. The journey is everything, because it is creating and culminating you into the person that you're going to be in order to get the dream that you want to get to. And sometimes we don't always see what it is that we need for that later vision of ourselves, right? Remember, we're living in two worlds. I'm sowing my seeds now, but I'm sowing it for a vision that I'm not quite living yet. And so I have to be able to see what is that, and I have to be able to understand the skills that I have to work on right now. So,
yeah, very valid point. Like, that is true, so true, that people have to, and you need to, in the military, they use the term embrace the suck. But as entrepreneurs, we need to embrace the journey. We need to embrace those things that it's truly the refiner's fire. So many people want to skip from point A to point B, and they don't realize that in order to get to point D, F, or Z, that they need to be able to do point A to point B, as difficult as it may be, and point B to C, because there's no substitute for the experience that you'll get. And you've got education, which I think probably sped things up a bit, like your willingness to, at least your understanding.
No, I mean, I honestly, Taylor, if it did, I would let you know.
Yeah.
I didn't, anything that I learned in school didn't do anything for business. Huh. Actually, I feel like it was a hindrance to me. I had to go through a whole unlearning process. And this is just me, right? I'm hoping that everybody's way smarter than me, right? My problem was this. Going to school has a certain format that I was pretty good at. It was very easy to understand what was expected of me and how to give that to the person who was giving me the accolades, right, the grade that I was trying to get. But when it came into business, it was more about relationships. It was more about people. It was more about sales. It was more about confidence. School may have given me, if it did give me anything, it gave me the confidence to say, yeah, I think I could start a business. That's it. Because I had gone to business school, so I should be able to start a business, right?
Right.
But once I got out there, the fear, it really just took over my whole entire body. And I had to unlearn the fear of calling a customer, unlearn the objections or people not wanting to pay my price or people saying, why? Because I have to know so that I can be better, so that I can learn. So school didn't teach me courage. And that was really what it took. Like, it was, I had to unlearn the school thing, thinking, oh, if I give people what, you know, if I do the great thing, like, I'll be okay. And I had to learn the courage thing. And my husband didn't go to school. So when we first started, it was kind of like, okay, I think this is what we need to do. He's like, okay, let's go do it. And he was just so fearless about it that I was like, just behind him. I'm like, okay. I'm just like, what's the deal? I'm like, okay, well, we got to call all these people. And I'm like, I'm too scared to call. So I'm like, you got to call. And so watching him go out there, and he would tell me, like, he would be literally shaking. shaky after a phone call with a customer. Not that the call was bad or that he didn't know what to say. It was just the fear. Yeah. And so learning how to be courageous was probably the thing that I had to learn the most. And so unlearning that it was not like school. I wasn't going to be able to pass just like I passed my chemistry test. You know, I was going to have to really get in it. I was going to have to read a lot of really great books. Like you talked about compound interest, like the compound effect. I love that. The slight edge. Understanding that the things I do every single day are the ways that I'm going to make it to where I want to go. You know, really getting my mind set into what is wealth mindset? What is wealth? What is money? How do we keep money as a tool? We'll get money. We'll get tons of money coming in. And it's like, when you're working a job, it's like you get money coming in, like a refund or some type of settlement or whatever. A large sum of money is a source of key, right? Oh, great. Right. But when you're an entrepreneur, you make a whole bunch of money, but then a whole bunch of money's got to go out. So you got to understand how it's supposed to circulate, and you got to learn to be okay with that. So everything that I learned in school was how to be a manager or to work in a job or to have some type of corporate structure around and over me. And when I got into the entrepreneurship, God, I was like an animal that lived in the zoo. That's what it was. I was like an animal that lived in the zoo, right? I knew how to get the animal the treats from the trainers. I knew how to do my little with other people who are, they have been hunting for different amounts of time, and there's different levels of animal. Every single customer, you're just trying to find out how do I get better? How do I do this? Yes. Say yes to this and figure it out later. You know how many times customers have said, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I got a guy. And then it's like, I go home, I'm like, Dave, that was a lot of it. And so in school didn't teach me that. It didn't teach me how to go and say yes and figure out the answers. Because truly, you won't even look for the recipe for an apple pie till you want an apple pie. So if somebody said, hey, I want a fence, I never even looked for a fence guy. Then we're getting a fence guy. And then we get a teammate guy. And then we get a guy who does this and a guy who does that. And then all of a sudden, we're getting all of these large, I got a synthetic turf. You know, we started off in synthetic turf. It was unlearning all we are, right? Because other people know who they are. So when you come to a situation, if you don't know who you are, you don't know, do I know who I am? So when I show up, what is it that I'm coming here for? That is a mentality that has to be cultivated through the fire, through the trials and error. And it's very exciting, but you don't realize that until you look back, right? Because when you're going through it, it sucks. Like you said, I think entrepreneurs should embrace the suck. Because in the beginning, it's a lot of no's. I mean, when we first started, I know I'm going all over the place. Hopefully there's some sense in here. But when we first started, we were in business for 6 months with no sales. Because not only were we new in business, but we were selling the product 15 years ago. Nobody knew what a synthetic turf was 15 years ago. So we were trying to explain to people what this was, and we were trying to sell it, and we were trying to you have to learn and you have to go through that whole process. And so I'm saying all that to say that I don't think school will give you that. Right. And I think I would have gotten a lot further had I not gone to school, because I would have been more like my husband and gone after it.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, I would argue that school helped you at least a little bit. Maybe not. It's not perhaps the... No, I know. But what I'm saying is it may not help... Like, it may not be the panacea of existence, right, for business owners, and it may not be the thing that solves every problem, but I see a lot of people that don't even have basic foundations and that start a business, and sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. I like to think that your rationale and brain, you're making better decisions because of it, maybe not perfect decisions, but better. We don't have too much time I've got to get, but I wanted to ask you a couple of personal questions so people can get to know you, because I always like to make sure that it's not just about entrepreneurship, but relating to each other. So what's left on your bucket list? What's one of the things that you're looking to finish before you sometime die, like 50 years from now?
I want to do a lot of things. I want to not leave anything on the table. I want to take life and I want to ring it all the way out. So I want to climb Mount Everest. I don't want to go to the top. I just want to go to base camp one, because I think that would be really fun. I want to jump out of a plane. I want to travel all around the world. I want to visit all the continents. One thing my son said when he graduated from high school that really bothered me was that he didn't feel like he was prepared for life. And I would agree with him. He was not prepared for life. And, you know, I didn't know how to, he's my first kid. So I didn't know how to prepare a kid for life. It was like, go to school, and do, you know, all the things that I had been taught. And so I really want to leave a legacy to where that doesn't have to be the case. Where we can have kids kind of grow up in an environment where when they get out of school, they're passionate or have started working on the passions that they want to do in life. But there's a lot of other things.
No, and I totally and I completely agree with that. I couldn't even narrow it down right now. Let's see. If you had a personal mascot, what would it be? I like that. Yeah, I see you as Lion. Yeah, totally do.
I feel that.
Yeah. What do you consider your greatest achievement so far?
My family, of course. Yeah. My greatest achievement is developing my bounce back. The ability to bounce back. The ability to take an L. Take some hard L's. Yeah. And come back. And come back stronger and harder. And just continuing to reach for my potential. Just understanding that the race is not with anybody else. It's really with myself. Right. And I want to understand what my personal potential is. My capabilities are. And so at this point in my life, I no longer compete with other people. I really compete internally, and I compete to say, am I a better Keisha Vaughn this year than I was last year, than I was 10 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good mentality. I know people think it's competition between people, but it's actually a competition between you yesterday and you today. And I think that's an important part of the entrepreneurial journey too, is realizing that everybody's on different paths and you just can't set it as one that, oh, they're doing so much better than I am, when you don't know how bad their life may be. And they could be doing great, or they could be in the duck. They could be calm and serene on the surface, but paddling like hell underneath. Yeah. That's a lot about it. So this last one's funny. What is the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
I don't have a lot of injuries.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Just walking into stuff, I guess. I think the last injury I had is I walked into a heat press machine and it hit the side of my leg, and I didn't notice it until my husband said, like, where did that bruise come from? And then I was like, it made me have an old people moment where you like look at yourself and you're like, where did that? Like, it took me a minute to be like, oh yeah, I guess it was the day that I hit the heat press.
My dumbest one was when I worked at McDonald's when I was 16, and I bounced the McChicken basket. It bounced off the McNugget basket and hit me in the arm, and I watched my flesh melt, and it was so bad. And what was really funny was that the manager at the time, when I showed him, like, it hurt, but it didn't hurt that bad, because it was like it didn't hit any real nerves, and it was painful, but it wasn't terrible. He started cussing up a storm like you'd have thought he's the one that got injured. And I just thought it was hilarious, because I'm like, dude, I'm the one that's hurt, and I didn't even swear over it. And so I went to urgent care and got it taken care of. But it was like, how I just felt so dumb for getting burned that way. I still have lines on my arm from it. It's been permanent from that. I can't see them too much anymore, but yeah, they still exist. But yeah, that was my dumbest one. Thankfully, I don't have too many of them. I'm grateful. I was a fairly bouncing off things trouble when I was a kid, thankfully. So
yeah,
me too. Nikisha, it has been so fun getting to catch up with you and to talk with you on the podcast. Can you tell my listeners where they can find you if they would like to learn more about Go Future Greens and your business coaching, all that fun stuff?
Sure. You can learn more about GoFutureGreens.com, and I'd be happy to help you with any type of coaching that you need, especially if you need someone to help you with strategic planning. I definitely specialize in that, and you can give me some great ideas. Like I said, I might not have visions of my own, but if you give me a vision, I give you a plan on how you can get there.
And I can second that. We, like I said, we've worked together before, and I can tell you that's one of the reasons why I wanted her to come on the podcast was because of her. She definitely has the vision She has the strategic planning part down to a T. So I couldn't endorse her more. And I hope that if you're needing someone, that you definitely look her up. So, well, that's all we have time for today. And thank you so much. And we will talk to you later.
Thank you.